Well, the first time I ever saw him was when he came to visit us because my mother was looking for a family from my father's side, and she was looking for Sherman, from his side to know somebody. And my mother and my sister had visited his family, and then he and his sister came to tell us that whoever we were looking for is still in Europe or
Ah,
something like
okay.
that.
And that would have been in 1914, as
Yes,
far as
well,
we could tell.
14, I was 14.
And you were 14, and he was 18
He was,
at the time.
yeah, he was 18.
Okay.
And he came with his sister, and he spent the day there. And I didn't like him because he was a foreigner.
He spoke
Not
Yiddish
because
rather
of
than English?
anything else,
Yes.
but just because he wasn't American.
Yes.
And I said, oh boy.
Did he speak? He spoke Yiddish then,
He
rather than
spoke
English?
Yiddish.
Yes.
Yeah, he spoke Yiddish very well. And he comes from a very religious home. And my mother was religious, but not that religious. You know, she said that if you do something wrong, it's between you and the Lord. You don't have to tell anybody. If you have made your pots on kosher, just do what you would normally do. Put it in the ground someplace with a little oil. And then a month later, you can use the pot. But she says, you don't have to exaggerate and tell anybody.
She was a very liberated lady, wasn't she? Okay, so Mr. Shore then first met you in 1914,
yeah.
And you...
And he had a lovely sister, and this sister was my sister's age, my older sister. So they used to go out together quite a bit, and they became friendly.
And how did he court you? What
Well,
you didn't date in the sense that we understand dating,
no,
did you?
He wanted to. He finally took me one day to a movie, and I accepted. I don't know why, but everything he did, I said, no, don't bother me, and something like that.
You were playing hard to get.
Yes, I was.
Yes.
And he used to take me to the movies, and it was very nice because I didn't have the money to go. You know, if I had a nickel, I would buy fruit or candy for food. I
Yes.
wouldn't spend it on a movie.
Now, what did he was he working at the time?
He was working. He was working for his uncle. He painted rooms. And his uncle taught him, but he was very good. He could paint five rooms in one day. He was so fast. He was 5'10", and a big husky man.
Yes. So you went out together for several years, did you?
We went out together for about a year and a half. Yeah.
And then he won you over.
And then I was married.
Okay, and the date of your marriage would have been?
August the 12th. My goodness.
1917?
18? 1917.
17.
I was 17.
All right. Okay.
1917.
All right. Now, after your marriage, did you stay in New York?
No, we went here immediately because his sister's husband, his brother-in-law, while opening a barrel of pickles, got a piece of steel in his eye. So he couldn't work in the store, so my husband came and worked before we were married.
That was a store here in Pittsburgh?
Pittsburgh, yeah,
where
on Penn Avenue.
Where in Pittsburgh? On Penn Avenue.
2649 Penn Avenue. Uh-huh.
When did it come?
This was in 1917.
Yes.
Right? And so you and he then immediately after your marriage came to Pittsburgh.
Came to Pittsburgh,
to
and he worked in the store, and we stayed at my sister-in-law's, that's his sister's house. I was very unhappy because the toilet was in the cellar, and the cellar was not paved, and rats were running around.
Was this on Penn Avenue?
On Penn Avenue, and a doctor owned the house. The doctor lived on in part of the house.
Now, where on Penn Avenue? What area? Is this area we would call
district.
The Strip District?
Right.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay, and so you lived in that same house?
I lived there, and there were quite a few Jewish people in that area. They all had different kind of stores. One had Friedman, had a jewelry. Miller had a shoe shop. And they all had some kind of a business, you know.
Were the stores in the same building as the houses? Did you live above the store or in the same?
No,
no.
The store was in the front of the building. I lived at that time. I lived above J. did you know the president of the Y that started the Y, the Jewish Y here, Appelstein? Have you heard of his name?
No.
Appelstein,
no.
Jack Appelstein. Well, his father owned a shop that consisted of shirts and clothes and shoes. And what do you call that?
Haberdasher.
Haberdasher. Mm-hmm. And he was the first president of the
Y. YMHA.
Yeah, right.
No, his store was near yours in the strip district.
Yeah.
What brought you to Pittsburgh rather than any other place?
Oh, well, the only thing that brought us was because my husband's sister's husband was in an accident. He was opening a barrel of pickles. Yeah. In those days, everything came by the barrel. Sugar was by the barrel and flour and everything, loose. Mm. And he got a piece of steel in his eye. Of course, he had to be taken to the hospital and everything. So he came and stayed a while, and then he went back, and we got married, and then he came back. So we stayed at his sister's house.
And your husband worked in the store.
And my husband worked in the store, and I worked in the store, too. And we didn't get any money. Mm-hmm. And if I had to write my mother a letter, I needed a stamp, I had to ask him for 2 cents. Yeah. I never had a honeymoon. I never had anything I never had the dress I wore speaks for everything. Yes. My husband didn't think it was anything different that I had a $2 dress from a pushcart. He didn't think it was not romantic or anything like that. Because where he was raised in Europe, they didn't have floors, they had dirt floors. Mm. And every Friday my mother-in-law told me she would put a yellow powder on the floor, you know. Mm-hmm. To make it look nice and clean.
For Shabbos, yes.
And they washed at the river with pieces of wood, you know, those kind that had the washboard cuts. Yeah. And that's the kind of... And his father left for the United States and came here. He was trying to get enough money for his wife to come with the children because... And that brought my husband to the United States. Mm-hmm.
Tell us about what the Strip District was like then, with the Shore, as you remember it, when you lived there as a young bride.
Yeah, the Strip District was farmers from around the area, from North Side especially. North Side, they had little farms, and they would come down there to sell it in the Strip District. And there was a butter and egg man, and the Marcuses, and... And I was very experienced. I became experienced in grocery, you know. And
did people come from all over the city to shop there? This was right before the First World War.
No, it's just the people of the area that had anything but a grocery.
I see.
And we had live turkeys, live geese, live chickens, everything live.
How did the war affect your life?
World War One was frightening. In 1918, when I remember dancing in the streets with my son, who was 9 months old or 6 months old, something. Mm-hmm. My son, who was now in Brussels.
Yes, yes. So you were a young bride at the time.
I was
newly married. Your husband was not affected by the war.
He was not. He went the first day, and. When he was 4 years old, he got something in his eye. They don't know what. His father had taken him to the synagogue, and something happened. He felt something hit his eye, and he started to cry. They took him home, and they wanted to take him to an eye doctor. But other people were there, and they said, "Why do you want to heal his eye? So he can be a good soldier for the Tsar?" He says, "Let it be the way it is." So he really had only one eye. Hmm. Just one eye, because the other eye was completely gone.
Hmm. But it was a way of keeping him from having to serve in the army.
Right.
Yes, I see. Okay, so we have you now in Pittsburgh in the
I had a great uncle who served 25 years in the army.
Russian, in Russia?
Russian army. Hmm. And came home, and he was made a constable, like, you know, gave him a little honor.
Mm-hmm.
And none of the Jewish people would speak to him because when he was 25 years and young, he ate pork.
So he became a disgrace.
A disgrace. After working like a mule for 25 years. And what the soldiers did to him is nobody's business. So the Jews themselves, you know, so crazy.
Okay, let's go back to your life then with your first child was Sydney.
Yes.
He was born when you lived in the Strip District.
Yes. I lived in two rooms, and I didn't have, there was a bedroom and a kitchen. And I didn't have a bed for the baby. The baby slept in the carriage, or I was nursing him, you know, but he slept in the carriage.
Were all of the children born when you lived there in the Strip District?
No.
Okay, tell us about that.
I lived in 52nd Street when my son Abe was born. And
that would have still been the Strip District, 52nd Street.
That's 52nd Street.
Okay, so you moved out of your sister-in-law's house.
Yes.
When Sydney was a baby, and moved to your own house.
We moved when Sydney was a big boy. When Abe was born, when my son Abe was born, I think because I had my children. Sydney was. What year was Sydney born?
Well, let's see. You said he was about 9 months old when the war began. So he would have been born, 1917, 1918?
Yes.
Around then?
Yeah.
1918.
Probably. 1918, he was born about 10 months after I got married.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll start with Sherman. He's the youngest. Betty, I was 27. Sherman, I was 24. And with Abe, I was 30. Oh, I'm all mixed up.
That's all right. It's hard to remember dates. No. That's okay. Tell us about the children, how many there are, and all of them born in Pittsburgh?
All of them born in Pittsburgh.
Okay.
They went to school here.
I have Sydney and Abe. Who was born next?
No, Sydney and Jack.
Oh, Jack was next.
Jack was next. Then comes Abe. Sydney and Jack.
So those are the three boys, and then Betty.
She was the fourth.
Right.
And Sherman was the fifth.
Was the fifth.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So you have.
I have Sydney, Jack, Abe, then.
Betty.
Betty.
Betty. And Sherman.
Okay.
And they were all born during the time that you lived in the Strip District.
No, Abe was born when I lived in 52nd Street. Butler.
Oh, in Butler, PA?
No,
Butler
Street.
Oh, all right. Oh, okay. Okay, now, did you go there after you left your sister-in-law's house? Did you go to 52nd Street?
No, I went to... I think so, yes. Yes.
All right.
Yes.
Okay.
And from there I went to Appelstein's house. See, I lived above the store that Appelstein owned.
All right, that was still...
It's 2703 Penn Avenue.
All right, that was the second house that you and your husband lived in by yourselves.
Yeah,
Okay. All right.
I had a bathroom there. That was the first time I had a bathroom. Because I had three children before I had an inside toilet.
Huh. Now, let's... Then, when did the Penn Hills years come? Was that much later?
Penn Hills was much, much later. That was...
Was this when the children were grown when you moved to Penn Hills?
Yeah.
Oh, all right. So all the time that you were raising them, you lived in the city.
Yes, all the time I lived in the city, right. I had three children at home and two in the hospital.
Okay, and during those, what do you remember about those years of raising the children when you were still living in that area?
It was hard because the children in the summertime, they never had a vacation.
This would have been the Depression years that we're talking about now?
Yes, yes. Well, even earlier than the Depression. 29 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And
okay, so there were the five children then growing up during the...
And they had to work in the store.
Okay, was Mr. Shore in the store with his brother-in-law?
His brother-in-law left Pittsburgh and went into furniture business.
I see. And what did Mr. Shore then
do? Mr. Shore had... We had the 52nd Street store.
And that was a grocery store?
I see. Yeah. It was eggs and fish and mm-hmm. fresh fish and stuff like that.
Did you work in the store also?
Always. I worked in the store every day of my life. And after having the baby, he would make me come down, you know, because he had to go to the market or he had to do this or that.
Yes.
I worked every day.
Mm. And you had the children to look after as well.
Yeah, of course.
To move it along.
Nobody was going to touch my children, just me.
Did you go to the synagogue? Regularly, did you close on the holidays?
Absolutely.
On the weekends, yes. On Saturdays?
Yes, we did.
Describe your little synagogue to us and the Jewish community that you had there.
We had our own little synagogue.
Yes,
Okay,
let's talk now about the Jewish community in that area, in the Strip District. You had said that you had your own synagogue. Can you tell us about that?
Yes. It was a lovely little place, and it was like in the old country, if they did have synagogue like that, you didn't have to pay extra for an extra seat. You brought all your children. My children were always in the synagogue with me. They'd sit right near me, and we'd pray together. And
Where was the synagogue, Mr. Shore?
It was on Liberty Avenue.
On Liberty.
Liberty, yeah. It was as big as, let's say, twice as big as this room.
So it was really just a little neighborhood.
It was a little, used to be a little church.
Do you have any idea how many families belonged to that?
There could have been maybe 10 or 15 families.
What was it called? Did it have a particular name?
Yeah, Ohav Shalom.
Ohav Shalom.
Shalom. And to keep it up was very simple. It didn't take practically no money. And I used to make all the cakes for Hanukkah, and my husband would go and buy chocolates for the children and grapes and apples and everything like that. I made fish and herring. I pickled herring, schmaltz herring. Huh. And everything.
Did you have a rabbi?
Oh, we... rented a rabbi.
How did that work? You rented her for the holidays?
It worked pretty good. Yeah, for the holidays. We got a lot of people that were out of work, rabbis. And the people would come from Israel or from part of Palestine. They'd stop at my place because I was kosher, mm-hmm. you know. And they'd sleep over on their way and have a good meal.
Now, did you have...
My husband did that. He was very proud. I did the work.
Did you have a cemetery?
Yes, we still have the cemetery.
Hmm. So the synagogue
had its... called the Hopef Shalom Cemetery.
And where is that?
That's in... Well, Betty knows where it is. Cherry City, I think. I'm not sure.
But it's out in the suburbs?
Yes, out in the suburbs. Yeah.
I see. So you had a very active Jewish community.
Oh, yes, yes.
Now, tell us about the children and what it was like for them.
The children went to Cheder. I'll tell you what happened. And the two little boys, Jack and Sidney, used to come home beaten up. You know, the kids would lay for them. Mm-hmm. And they'd have to go after school every day to the, you know. So I said, I won't stand for that. And I said, I'm going to have them all at my house. So from then on, I had my children, and the rabbi and the children came to my house.
So the cheder was in your house?
Right.
I see.
I wasn't going to let them be beat up anymore.
And how long did that go on, approximately?
It went until my oldest son was bar mitzvah, and Jack was bar mitzvah.
So that would be approximately how many years, would you say, that you had the cheder in your house?
I'd say 5-6 years.
Yeah.
And when the rabbi came, I gave him, when it was hot, I gave him ice cold lemonade or whatever, or tea with cake and mm-hmm. stuff like that. And I made my own beer, I made my own root beer, I made my own bread, we had bread, I didn't have to bake bread. And to this day, I make my own bread.
Yes. So you did all those things while you were busy in the store,
yeah, and I
taking care of your
and
house.
Even though I was busy in the store, I wanted my children to have the smell of jelly cooking, and I made my own jellies.
Oh.
That was when they were children, I'm talking about.
Now, these would be, what years would these be that we're talking about?
These were when the children were, I think Sydney was 16, something like that.
So it would be in the 30s that we're talking about? Let's talk a little bit about your memories of the Depression and what it was like.
I was hurt very badly with the Depression because we couldn't pay the rent. And we couldn't pay the rent in the store.
You were still in the Strip District at this time?
Still in the Strip District. I was 1929.
Mm-hmm.
And my husband, after Saturday, he took the money that he got in because we had to pay checks on Monday. We had to have to write checks, money in the bank. And he took it in the bank. And the next morning, the bank was closed after we took him a couple hundred dollars, you know. Because Saturday was our main day.
Yes.
People would buy for the week. You know, we had a lot of black people and Polish people,
mm-hmm.
besides the Jewish people.
Yes.
So, but I was going to tell you something, I forgot.
We were talking about what it was like in the Depression and the struggles
of
people, as you recall
yes.
it.
Yes, and here I was, a family with five children. I had a woman who worked for me for 12 years, a black woman. She was in the house with me. She lived in my house for 12 years. She had no place to go. And I didn't know what to do. I didn't have any money. So my husband went huckstering. We lost the store. He went huckstering. So he made $2 a day, enough to buy stuff for tomorrow to huckster. You know, I couldn't buy food with the money. The milk company brought us a case of milk every other day for nothing, because we were such good customers for many years. But that didn't last too long, you know.
Yes.
And I didn't know what to do. We moved into a place, and then we had to move out of there. And a very dear friend of ours, who's no relation, just a friend, he came to my husband and he says, I built my house and I built a store in front, and it was in Stanton Heights.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I want you to come and stay because I know you have the money to stay with my family.
So you moved out of the Strip District then to Stanton Heights. This would have been when?
We went to his place in Stanton Heights. He lived in Stanton Heights. And I put sheets on the window.
This would have been when? Can you recall the early 30s, perhaps? Or can you recall a date?
It was after we lost the store. It was after 29. It was the early 30s, yes.
What was Stanton Heights like then? Was it almost country at that time?
Yes. It was really the Gulf course, you know, it was a golf course originally. And that's where they used to go play golf, the people that lived around the area. And then it was deserted because, I don't know why, but more people that didn't have what they should have moved in, you know. And that sort of split it. Then Miller, a man by the name of Miller, I knew his niece. She sang with me in the choir. And they started build houses there.
And so the community grew in the 30s.
Yeah.
I see.
But we stayed with that man for quite some time. And he was so wonderful. It was just like my brother or my father.
Yeah.
When he used to come to the store, my husband did a lot for him. He had a big family and he didn't have much money. But, you know, they lived from day to day. And my husband would, if he needed clothes, my husband would tell him to go to Fifth Avenue where he, you know, just tell him Max Shaw sent you. And that's what he did. They didn't even know Max Shaw from a hole in the wall. But he said, Max Shaw sent me. And he would buy what he needed for his family. And also he would go to the slaughterhouse. At that time, where the, I forgot this big company there, where the slaughterhouse was, so he would go there and buy a rack of lamb, a whole, you know, part mm-hmm. of the lamb, or mm-hmm. beef, or whatever, or liver, and, you know, stuff like that.
So you also
and also got it cheaper. See? Mm-hmm. So he felt that he owed my husband a lot, but what he did for us mm-hmm. is incredible. And another thing that he did was about the second day when we were in the house on Staten Heights, in his house, he comes into the room with a saw. And he says he's going to saw the wall, and we're going to sleep upstairs by ourselves. You're not going to sleep down here with the children.
So he arranged your own apartment
right.
for you.
He built the place, so I didn't know that there were steps there. I says, oh, don't do that. The house will fall down. He says, no, it won't. And he started saw, and the wall came down, and there was the stairway leading to the second floor to a room.
How long were you in that place?
We were there for about 9 months. Uh-huh. And then after that, my husband was able to open a store.
Where was that store?
In Morningside.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, and that was groceries also?
Yeah, groceries.
And then did you move to Morningside, or did you stay in the Staten Heights area?
No, I moved to Morningside. No, I moved too, because I felt they've done enough, you know.
Mm-hmm. And then you lived in that area, in Morningside, until the children were grown?
Well, they were teenagers at the time, mm-hmm. right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Tell us about the children and their involvement in the community as they grew, and something about them. I knew they'd
grow. Well, I know my oldest son went to college. The first year he got free because he won. The city of Pittsburgh used to have every year they had a civic test, and he came in second. And as the one that came in first, no, he came in third. The one that came in first was a very dear friend of his who was city editor for the Pittsburgh Press for many years.
Oh.
Yeah. And he got a job. He got a job right away. I forgot his name.
No.
In a second.
Mm-hmm.
It'll come to me.
Yeah.
Okay,
so Sydney then went.
Oh, I wanted to say that Sydney went to school with $1.25 a week. That for his car fare and lunches.
He rode the streetcar?
Mm-hmm.
And that was at Pitt that he
that
went to school.
That was at Pitt.
I see.
When Jack went to college, I gave him $5 a week.
That was a big increase.
It was a big increase.
Yeah. Yes.
When Betty went to college, she worked as a field worker and got $75 a month, and that paid for Sherman's college.
Uh-huh. Now, we want to get to your painting and when that all began, but perhaps we could wait with that for a little bit as we follow you chronologically.
Yes.
So the children then, when they went off to college, went from your house in Morningside.
Yeah.
When did you and Mr. Short...
On Heberton Street. I lived on Heberton too at the time, 41.
When did you decide to go out to the suburbs? Why did
because,
you and Mr. Short
yeah,
decide
I'll tell
to
you
do
why.
That?
Because Betty got married, and they bought a house, and it was in the suburbs, and we loved it. You know, everybody it was so wonderful. You know, you could grow your own flowers that I hadn't done yet.
Yes.
And so that's how we learned. And
so you
then
moved.
Then she heard that our house where I lived was being sold. There was a woman that lived there, loved the place. She loved it. But she moved out because her mother-in-law lived a couple streets further down, and she insisted that her mother-in-law could see what she was doing. So she sold the place.
And this was,
and
this was
after Morningside. Selling the place to us, mm-hmm. she nagged me to death I should sell it back because she missed it so much. I says, we just bought it. Why should I sell it? And I felt bad for her, but I didn't want her to bother me. She was really sorry that she sold the house, and how, what an idea. Why she sold it was so ridiculous.
Do you remember what the price of a home was in those days? That would be interesting.
Okay. We paid $12,500 for our house.
This was the one on Heberton Street?
No. Heberton Street I rented.
Ah.
This was in Penn Hills.
Oh, right.
This $12,500
$12,500
I don't know what Betty paid for hers. Mm-hmm. Something around there.
How this many?
This was in what year, approximately, Mrs. Short, when you moved out there?
When I moved out there, it was...
40s?
Still in the 30s.
40s? 50s?
God almighty, am I stupid? Oh.
No, doesn't it's matter. Hard to remember. Got I just want it. Well,
how big a home was it?
It wasn't a big home. It was a very small home, but we had 3/4 acre to work with, mm-hmm. and that made the home beautiful.
Three quarters of an acre. How many bedrooms in the house?
We had one bedroom, and a little room that you could put a cot in. You
know? So it was a small.
It was a small.
Sort of probably called a two-bedroom house.
Yeah, and the living room was about as big as this corner, this whole area, you know, just a little
small.
Yeah. But you wanted to get out of the city then, so you
I
would
wanted
have
to get out of the city, and I wanted to have my grandchildren have a little fresh air, and, you know, nice.
So
and they visited every week. We had all kinds of parties, and we had corn roasts, and you name it.